A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 113. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Chalky. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we're talking about Chalky and asking the question about what if our first contact with an alien life form was through the mind of a child? And that's the basis of this series from the ITV channel. 1984, 6 30-minute episodes that we're going to be discussing, and it features an author that we visited before, Brian.
Yes, it does. This is based on the novel Chalky by John Wyndham. And yes, we've talked about John Wyndham's work before, and we may do so again. He is certainly a classic writer from the British science fiction novels from the 1950s and 60s. The novel was just one novel. There were no sequels to the novel, but there were original sequels to the television serial. There was Chalky's Children in 1985 and Chalky's Challenge in 1986, and we will talk about those a little bit too.
Okay, so we've got three separate six-episode serials, as you say, from 1984, 5, and 6, and it's an interesting science fiction show, broadcast for children, and I guess it's a show with ideas more than special effects. As we'll talk about later in the production, there are very few special effects in this show, but there's some interesting stuff to discuss and think about, Ryan.
Yes, absolutely. And John Wyndham was always very good at introducing and dealing with interesting ideas. And certainly the first serial, Chalky, it's almost hard to categorize if it is a show for children or a show for adults, which is kind of interesting. So the setup, Matthew Gore is a young schoolboy. I think he's about 10 or 11. He was adopted as a foundling. And the story, at least as it starts, rotates around him.
Yes, and about him starting to exhibit some very strange behavior. And he starts talking about his mysterious invisible friend, who he calls Chalky. And at first, I think his parents just dismiss this as the usual imaginary friends of childhood, particularly as his younger sister has an imaginary friend. So when they hear him talking about Chalky, they just think he's come up with his own sort of version of a childhood imaginary friend. But it sort of gets a bit stranger from there.
Yes, of course, his relationship with Chalky becomes more and more complex, and we start seeing what is apparently the influence of Chalky. So Matthew starts to excel in maths at school, which he hadn't in the past. And he surprises his friends by suddenly being very good at computer games and solving a Rubik's Cube and so on. So we start to see some behavior that we couldn't explain by Matthew merely having an imaginary friend.
That's right. And of course, as well as being suddenly adept at computer games and the very 80s and Rubik's Cube, he's also asking some strange and quite challenging questions. So he's asking his parents and his teachers questions about human reproduction and about machines and technology and so on. And also, at the same time, we can hear him, or his parents overhear him talking apparently to himself. But of course, he's talking to this mysterious entity, his friend Chalky. And as all this goes on, as you can imagine, his parents and teachers start to get troubled by this. And so it sort of seems to be something other than just a simple imaginary friend. And with him talking to himself and his strange behavior, they start to wonder whether or not Matthew may have some form of mental illness. And that's, how the story seems to be developing with the parents and teachers.
That's right. And of course, the interesting thing is that the questions and ideas that Matthew discusses with Chalky are things that he shouldn't be able to come up with on his own, or you would not expect him to be challenging how technology is done or why there are two sexes and so on and so forth. And of course, they send Matthew to a psychiatrist who goes through these things and discusses all of this with Matthew and comes up with different possibilities. Maybe it isn't just a straightforward mental illness.
Okay, so that's the basic setup. We'll talk about the characters. We've already mentioned Matthew, our main character, a young boy played with rather convincing intensity by an actor called Andrew Elams, who did a very good job in the part, I think, Brian.
Yes, for a young actor like this, I think it was done unusually well. His father, David Gore, was played by James Hazeldine, who we have seen before in The Omega Factor and also in The Last Train. And the father is a very focal character in this story, and a major part of it is how the father deals with this situation and so on, and the other adult characters as well, but especially the relationship of father and son is very important in this, and the relationship between the father and this situation and learning what's going on.
Yeah, and it's nice to have such a sympathetic actor as James Hazeldine, who always seems to be watchable, and he's, you know, it's very helpful, I think, to the production here that he is so good as Matthew's father.
Yes, excellent casting.
Yeah. Also, we had another popular actor from the time, from the 1980s. We had Carol Drinkwater playing Matthew's mother, Mary. And she was probably best known at the time for playing the wife in the long-running television show All Creatures Great and Small, which was also the show that introduced most of us to Peter Davison, who, of course, would go on from that to play the Fifth Doctor.
Yes, the mother, Mary, is not as prominent a character as the father is, but definitely there's still something there. It's still a real character with things to do and a point of view. And again, I think that was pretty good casting.
Yep. And we've got, I suppose, one other character, the character of Chockey, or Chockey's voice. And Chockey's voice was provided for us by an actress, Glynis Brooks. So you can tell, as well as Matthew hearing the voice of Chockey, we get to hear the voice of Chockey as well. And we have this female voice actress for us.
Yes, that was fairly spooky at times.
Yeah, it is. It's quite, it is a sort of strange and creepy interpretation.
Now, there are a couple of other actors of note from Chockey that we should mention. Jeremy Bullock, who is well known for being the original Boba Fett from the Star Wars films, from The Empire Strikes Back, he was in there as Landis, the psychiatrist. We have also seen Bullock before in British Invaders because he played Edward of Wickham in Robin of Sherwood, and that was quite a memorable role as well. And another little note in there is a small role for a character Colin, who is Matthew's best friend, and he was actually played by Devon Stanfield, who went on to star in Box of Delights a year later.
Right, so some further, as you say, British Invaders connections. And I think there's another couple of actors that we'll mention when we get onto the sequels as well, Brian.
Oh, yes.
Why's the cow stop?
I don't know. I give up. Why does the cow stop?
No, it's not a riddle. It's a question. Why?
Why does a cow stop what?
Well, it gets a bit of the way, and then it doesn't seem to be able to get any further. Not ever.
Still not with you, I'm afraid. Where does it get a bit of the way?
What I mean is, when the cowman opens the gates, the cows all know it's milking time. They all troop off to the milking shed without being told.
Yes.
And when they get there, they go into their own stalls and wait to be milked. I've seen them. When it's over, they go back into the field again. They understand about that. You see?
That's right.
But they don't go any further. They just stop there.
Oh, you mean they stop understanding?
Yes. They don't want to stay in this field. So if they find a hole in the fence, they get out. So if they want to get out when they just.
So the story progresses. We've introduced Matthew and his strange behaviours, and we've got him to the point where he's been taken to see a psychiatrist, who, as you say, Brian, was played by Boba Fett himself. And after meeting with the psychiatrist, we get the understanding, as Matthew explains it, that Chalky is from another planet and is some form of extraterrestrial scout who is interested in life on Earth and all its forms and meanings and so on. And it seems clear that the psychiatrist seems to believe Matthew.
Yes, it becomes clearer and clearer that Matthew is able to say things and ask questions and give answers and so on that he simply would not be able to on his own. And he's able to do certain things like some drawing and what have you that directly involve Chalky, and there really isn't an explanation that we can see for that. And that leads to some interesting character conflict with that, because the two parents, David and Mary, Mary does not like this idea at all. She is pretty well convinced that this is, an imaginary friend kind of thing, and that it should be discouraged. And David is becoming much more open to the idea that there is something real here, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. And this is sort of the course that they're on, and for one reason or another, Chalky leaves, sort of breaks contact for a period of time. And then there is an accident, something that potentially threatens the life of both Matthew and his sister Polly. And there is sort of a question, you know, how will they get out of this situation? And when they do get out of it, there is the further question, well, how did they get out of that situation?
That's right. And so some interesting abilities that Matthew exhibits all the way along. And of course, while he's exhibiting these sort of newfound abilities, as well as attracting the interest of his parents and teachers and the psychiatrist, I suppose he inevitably starts to attract the interest of outsiders. Some unpleasant people perhaps start to take an interest in what he's able to do. And again, you know, the results of that will perhaps be to put Matthew in danger yet again. So lots of ways of introducing dramatic tension for the story, more than just Matthew's conversations with Chalky.
Yes, absolutely. The basis of the story, Chalky, essentially hangs on the idea of you have this child who is contacted in this way by this alien entity, and, you know, then what happens, you know, following it through. And that's how most of it goes. And it, you know, is fantastic that this relatively simple idea, Wyndham was able to do so much with it. But the extension, the complication that's also involved in certain respects is what happens when other people who are not, you know, sort of close friends and what have you, when other people start to learn about this, and when, you know, there may be other types of interest in this, and what happens then?
It's all interesting and sort of, you know, as I say, exciting stuff, with the mystery sort of evolving of what exactly Chalky is and what it means for Matthew and his safety.
Yes, absolutely. So getting into our production notes, John Wyndham, as we have mentioned, was a science fiction author who wrote a lot in the 1950s and 60s and was very well regarded, and certainly still is. Well known certainly for Day of the Triffids, which he wrote in 1951, and we covered that back in British Invaders 16 and 17. He also wrote The Midwich Cuckoos, The Krakenwakes, The Chrysalids, and other things, but certainly those are very well known.
Yeah, as you say, a very important British science fiction writer, and here we are dealing with his last ever novel, Chalky, which was published in 1968, just a year before his death. And we're dealing with an adaptation for the screen by Anthony Reed, who was, prior to this, he'd been a script editor on Doctor Who, and also in the British Invaders field, he'd written or co-written the fifth assignment of Sapphire and Steel. So he's our adapter for this John Wyndham book.
Yes, that's right. And he was actually approached by a TV producer, Richard Bates, who had worked on The Tripods in 1984. So there was definitely a lot of experience on British sci-fi TV coming into this, both from the BBC side and the ITV side as well. And it turned out that Chalky was the only John Wyndham novel, at least the only one of his major ones, where the rights had not already been bought by Hollywood. So the two of them pitched that series to Thames Television with ITV, and they commissioned this six 30-minute episode serial.
So we've got Richard Bates producing, Anthony Reed sort of writing or adapting from John Wyndham, and then we've got the episodes directed by Christopher Hodson and Vic Hughes. Now, I don't know much about the background of Christopher Hodson, but I do know that Vic Hughes also directed some of The Tomorrow People, and he directed a fairly well-known series called The Feathered Serpent, which starred Patrick Troughton. So he has some sort of genre background. And together they put, you know, this production with, as we discussed, fairly minimal special effects, but there were some interesting things they did. We've talked about the disembodied voice of Chalky herself, Glynis Brooks, doing this rather strange and spooky vocalization. And then with that, they added some lights and some lasers, particularly a sort of like laser cutting through smoke, which was, I think, a very sort of common image in the 1980s, and some sort of odd lights to produce the effect of Chalky actually appearing to Matthew. So that was sort of strange looking, but it seemed to work, I think, Brian.
Yes, they did some of those and some video effects and things, which I'm not sure they were entirely necessary once you had the voice there. But it was okay. It was interesting. But the piece was certainly not about that. It was about the story and these ideas and the performances and so on.
Yeah. Okay. Then we've got, another bit of spooky theme music, rather sort of slow piece of music written by John Hyde. It's not, I suppose, one of the most memorable title sequences, but it did set the sort of slow, thoughtful and sort of slightly spooky mood for the show, I guess.
Yes, I rather liked the music that went with the voice of Chalky. I thought that was quite effective. You know, they got something that made it seem rather spooky, which was nice. It worked well.
Okay.
And the series was actually quite well received. In particular, it gained the approval of the Wyndham family, and they actually told Anthony Reed that it was the best adaptation of a Wyndham book that they had seen, which is very nice. So definitely an interesting adaptation, and interesting to hear about those comments from the Wyndham family.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is very high praise for the Wyndham family to actually say yes. It's the best adaptation of one of his works.
Okay.
So, you know, fairly important first series here in Chalky.
Absolutely.
He thanked me for telling Chalky to go away last night.
Did he now?
Said she wouldn't listen to him. I think it's very odd. I really don't know what to make of it.
I've never heard of a 12-year-old inventing a character like this.
Well, he doesn't seem to think that it is invented.
What does he think it is, then?
Well, I'm not sure, really. He treats it all as though it's absolutely real, and yet... Well, he doesn't seem to be able to make up his mind whether or not it's a he or a she.
Now, that is odd. Oh, I don't suppose it'll do him any harm to let him have his bit of fantasy.
Yes, but what do we do?
Oh, why don't we just give it a bit of time, play along with it for a bit and see how it goes?
Well, that doesn't sound very right to me.
No?
If we go around pretending to believe in things that aren't really there, how on earth is a child supposed to distinguish what's real?
I guess that will wrap up our first part of our discussion. Please join us next time, because we're going to be getting on to a bit more about Chalky, but in particular to cover the two sequel series, Chalky's Children and Chalky's Challenge, from the two following years.
And, of course, we will also compare the novel to the television version, which is always fun to do. And we will discuss the possibility of a Hollywood adaptation, which could possibly be coming up as well.
Okay, plus we've got to get to our reviews, our comments, and our discussion of the availability, all to come in our second episode.
Yes, we definitely have some good stuff to talk about. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening. This is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And until next time, this is Eamon in England saying goodbye.